All right, we're teaching on training for reigning. And today's topic is going to be taking ownership. Taking ownership. The thing that we have discovered is that you and I have been chosen for this hour. Now that's a privilege, because I believe He saved the best to last. I think we're it. But I tell you, I'm believing also that you and I are going to be used to close this thing out. Yep. We're going to be to close this thing out. Now, we had been talking about this topic of training for reigning. One of the things that we put up front here is this word called potential. And we said this idea of potential means hidden abilities. Hidden abilities. It's something that we are that has not yet been revealed, or something that we can become. But it, nevertheless, it's real. And we talked about potential needs a demand to be placed on it for it to come out. It needs sometimes pressures or something to activate its abilities or capacities. And all of us have been born with potential. If you think about it, everybody in this room has genius in them. Think about this. I mean, everybody, because God put genius in you. In other words, there is no spiritual birth defects. And that whoever you are, we're not talking about your flesh. That's not your real you. We're talking about the person in there. That there is a genius level of abilities inside of you. And what most people do, of course, they end up copying somebody else, trying to be what somebody else is and so forth, because they've never seen what they are manifested. So they end up copying somebody else. But what we're encouraging people to do is be who you are. Be who you are. Time for pretending to be somebody else is over. You know what I mean? I mean, I see sometimes turn on TV and see all these different, they have this, once a year, I guess, all the Elvises get together. And, yeah. But, I mean, that's all right. I'm not talking down on them about them. But the point of it is when are you going to be who you are? Okay. So God made you unique, and He really wants you to express yourself, because He expresses Himself through your uniqueness. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 4, now in reading in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not made to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise that he should be the heir of the world. What is an heir? Someone who inherits something, okay? So promise that he'd be the heir of the world was to Abraham and to his seed, okay? Verse 16, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, underline that, who is the father of us all. We have that, if you will, we have that amplified Bible under there, please. Yeah, thank you. Now look what that says. It says that therefore it's a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, to not only that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, over in Romans chapter 4, and looking at verse 16 again, he says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it valid, to make it stable, to make it valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but to those who share the faith of Abraham. Now, here he says, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith that it might be given as an act of grace, God's unmerited favor, that make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants or all his seed. Now, this is very, very important, that verse right there. And the reason why I read a couple of translations, because this statement is clearly defining for us the process of getting ownership. It's clearly defines it. There's no mystery now. Because he's saying inheriting this promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith that it might be given as an act of grace, God's unmerited favor, to make it valid and guaranteed to all God's descendants. So this Bible is God's last will and testament. This was written for you. Now, in here is who you are, what you can be, and what you can have, and what you can do. Right in here. So, if somebody tells you you can't have something, then you come here. If somebody tells you you can't do something, you come here. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this is it right here. Amen. So I said, well, let's see. You don't need to pay taxes. And then come in here and say, Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Let me translate. Pay your taxes. You got what I'm saying? You see, this clears it up. This clears it up right here. Now, this is very important because inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith so that it might be given as an act of grace, God's unmerited favor, to make it valid and guaranteed to everybody. So now this is, boy, I'm telling you, if I didn't have anything to do, I would have set to another service because this stuff here, the more you hear it, the more faith comes for it. I'm preaching now the key to the kingdom. That's what I'm preaching right now. This piece. And so, accessing these promises is going to have to be by faith. And he tells me that the faith that I've got to have is the faith of Abraham. Now, all I got to do is go over and see what the faith of Abraham looks like. So let's go over to Romans. No, you're right there already. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that what? Be not as though they were. Now, did God tell Abraham to call himself Abraham even before Abraham had any kids? Because the word Abraham means father of a multitude or many nations. And he said, call yourself that before you get there. So the faith of Abraham is the faith that says, I've got to believe God's word when I have nothing in the natural to validate its credibility. This is that faith that I'm talking about. And if you go on down, he said, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was written, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now notice the promise that he gave him was much beyond what Abraham was had the ability to accomplish. Got it? But Abraham chose to believe God. Now, once he did believe him, the process began. See? And the process that began is the process of destroying what he used to believe and creating a new belief system. Are y'all with me? Now, you stay with me here, because if you get this today, you are halfway home. I'm telling you, in terms of what all that God has for you, you can work it anytime. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. For example, let's go to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 13. Well, that song is still ringing in me. You got me dancing over and over. Okay, that's all right. Amen. I'd rather for that to be ringing inside of me than you took a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Okay. Okay, what did I tell you, Jer? Number 13, okay. All right, now, this is interesting now, because he said here in verse 31, but the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report, report of the land, which they had searched and gone out and children of Israel and so forth. And verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and what? So were we, verse 33, in their sight. Now, how did they see themselves? As grasshoppers. Got it? Okay. Now that's an image.
Right.
Now where did that image come from, you think? What were they in for the last 400 years? They were in bondage, in slavery. So in slavery, what happens is the enemy injects an image inside of people so that even if he leaves them alone, they won't leave. Because they see themselves in that level. Got it? Now that's not all. Let's go to Exodus and Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now this is what I'm showing you now is what has to happen if you're going to take ownership over this earth, because the people of God have not seen themselves as the owners. We have at best seen ourselves as renters and passers through. See, we just passers through here. Man, don't leave that. Don't touch that stuff, man. That stuff, that's filthy. That's what we call it, filthy rich. He filthy rich. Man, rich ain't necessarily filthy, honey. See, and all of that is designed to keep us out of it. Now watch what I'm just reading now. So verse 1. And when the people saw Moses and delayed that came down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said to them, well, break off the earrings and so forth and so on. And all the people break off the golden earrings, verse 3 now, which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received of them and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be our gods, O Israel, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt. And when Moses saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they arose up early in the tomorrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and then they rose up to play. Now, okay, so what did they do? Moses went up there and stayed, and now the people made a calf. Now, I call it the image of the beast. Okay? Now, he works to put an image inside of people so that he can control their destinies. See? And in terms of this, where did the image come from? It came from Egypt. How did it get here? It got here through them. Where was it transported? In their hearts and their own minds. You with me? All right, now, for God to take us further, he's going to have to deal with how you see yourself and how you see him. Amen. See? Because for the most part, we have seen God in relation to a religious image or picture of God as the omnipotent Almighty One. And we have not dealt with him, glory to God, in terms of the basis by which he must be dealt with for him to deal properly with you and get you to where you're supposed to be. So we got to deal with that. So first thing we got to do is we got to annihilate what's in here. We got to annihilate what's in there. Now you can tell when people don't quite have the right image, because I can say something and people get mad enough to walk out and just storm out. They get out. They leave, man. They're gone. What happened? I just went up against that calf. I just went up against that calf, and do you know what? They'll hurt you to protect it. They might not hurt you with stones, but they'll hurt you with their tongue. Here. Their job is to protect that rascal. Because as far as they're concerned, that's the truth. So God has been looked at all kinds of ways. He took my daughter. He killed the cat. You name it. All kinds of stuff been put on God. And religion, you can always tell it, because it always puts God way far away. And me here by myself crying, trying to get him to come. And religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. So when the flu does come, he can be sure that he can put it on you if he wants to. But according to the will, you are exempt from the flu. See? But if the biggest weapon that he has is ignorance. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The biggest weapon is ignorance. People haven't read the will. They haven't read the will. And even if they read it, they didn't read it right. Let's take an example. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Now, this is the way you see God. All right? Luke chapter 11. How y'all doing? We doing okay?
Doing good.
All right? You familiar with this part? I'll read this part first. It says, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, there's a very subtlety right there. Right there now. It's very subtle. But when you pray, what? Say. Well, let's all bow our heads for a word of silent prayer. Now, that's not in here. Why don't you pull up to the gas station and said, he said, what can I do for you? I have a silent request. Oh, okay. All right. Keep driving. All right. Now, my point to you is religion did that. Now let's go on down. Because, you know, we have come up with some stuff now. The Bible, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. Some people think you can't pray unless you get on your knees. Now, you can't pray unless you get down and you got to fold your hands, get on your knees, because if you want God to hear you, you got to fold. There's nothing wrong getting on your knees, but you don't have to. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. Folks, man, I done prayed on the run before. Lord, hey, help me, help me. You can pray on the run, Jack. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, let's just go on down. I'm trying to tear down the calf. The calf has kept God's people from their promises. Am I getting through to somebody in here? Now, I'm telling you, when you start talking like this, there are people that get mad. And they get mad because you after that calf. And they got to protect that calf, man. That calf, man, I got to protect this. This is my calf. When God wants that rascal destroyed, Moses came down there, he ground that thing up to powder, put water in a cup and put it in there and told him to drink it. He didn't want him ever forget that experience. See, it's not God. God is not succeeding you. You're succeeding you. God sets up all the parameters for your success, but you have to succeed. And it's not the devil keeping you from success. See, it's your choice. Choose life or choose death. See, we're putting it on God like it's God. No, God's will is for you to be successful, but he doesn't succeed you. No. You get up in the morning, you have to make some decisions. When your feet hit that floor, you make some decisions. Well, I guess I'm going to put on this today. I mean, you can ask the Holy Ghost, he can help you. But mainly, you put on what you want to put on. Well, I think I'll put on this. You know? I'm saying you make some decisions. The whole thing about you just going through earth and you living out, you just an automaton, you just a robot and just living outside. No, God, no. You're making decisions. You've got a real life that you're living out in this earth. And God helps you and directs you and so forth. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Religion doesn't talk like that. And that's why you can get people that are religious, and on both sides, you can get them religious, and they put everything off till they get to heaven. So they sing a lot of songs, when we all get to heaven, what a great time we're going to be. When you all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Now, you can sing and shout the victory right up in here, right now, because you can experience heaven right now on earth. So amen to that. And every mean group that is formed, from the Taliban to the KKK to Hitler, every mean group has been religious. Every one of them. Religion is designed to kill you. Designed to control your life, control your mind, to repress you and make you think negative, think and keep you condemned and not ever let you free. See, when you see you're not going anywhere, that's because you got a hold of some religion somewhere. There's a cow in you somewhere, a calf, that needs to be dealt with. I know what I'm talking about. Man, I get up there in the pulpit sometimes, and I say three words about something. I say, well, the Lord said it, and boom, people get up and walk out. I remember this man one time, he said, Lord, what am I going to do? The Lord said, listen, next Sunday I want you to preach this right here. He said, Lord, now if I preach that, everybody going to get up and leave. He said, and they ain't coming back. He said, well, if you don't preach it, I may not come back. something to that order. My point to you is hey, I'm responsible for preaching the truth. See, this is what he told Jeremiah. Just hold on a minute. I'm taking a little side trip here. This is what he told Jeremiah over in Jeremiah chapter 1. Here's what he told him. Now, just stay there right with me. Praise God. I'm trying to get there. Over in Jeremiah chapter 1. Maybe I shouldn't take this trip, but I'm going to take it anyway. In chapter 1, he said this. He said in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 1, see, I have set this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to throw down. Oh, I like that. To throw down, to destroy. To pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Okay? Now, I'm just saying that because this is what has stopped us from ruling and reigning. This is what has stopped us. See, Jesus came to transfer the earth back into the hands of its rightful owners. Amen. Say that with me. Jesus came to transfer the earth back into the hands of its rightful owners. Now, you see people today, and they might have a lot and so forth, and controlling a lot of stuff and so forth like that. But if they're not born again, if they don't have the Spirit of Christ leading them, then it's only one other spirit that's got control. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the enemy. Say amen to that. So the enemy becomes the puppet master. He becomes the one who controls people who control people. Got it? And keep this world in chaos. But you're coming on the scene, and your job is to dismantle systems and dispossess squatters. Anybody that's sitting on land that does not belong to them must give it up. Now, the way this happens is not my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. The way this happens is by faith. You've got to take the Word of God, apply the Word of God to the situation, let God give you strategies that are used to bring things that are not in your hands yet back into the hands of the rightful owners. Where do I have you right now? Where? Ruth, Luke 11. Woo, Lord Jesus. Y'all getting this? Mm-mm. That's why you've been raised up. I said training for reigning. This is why you've been raised up. You're going to be the bunch that's going to transfer stuff. On a massive scale. You're going to be the bunch, you're going to be the people that are going to take control of governments. You're going to be the people that bring justice into this earth. Say amen to that. You're going to be the people that will build orphanages, that will raise up orphans to attend Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Oxford and Cambridge. Yes, sir. You're going to be the ones that are going to do it. See, they're not going to be some rejects and people that have no hope anymore. No, you're going to come. You're going to come with a new formula, a formula that have people whose minds have been just messed up with drugs, been blown out with cocaine. You're going to come with a way to be able to restore the years that the cankerworm had taken away in their life. Yes, indeed. You're going to be the ones that are going to be taking the seat of handling some of the elderly of the world, that they don't have to feel rejected anymore, that you can put up some places that won't smell like urine, but they'll smell like the finest hotels in the world. Say amen to that. You're going to be the ones that where they're selling drugs on these different blocks, but now you're going to come in with not only a drug prevention program, but a renewal program, that there'll be no sign that drugs was ever sold in that neighborhood. That people will be able to walk down the street at night with their families. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We can do this. We can do this. I said we can do this.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. All right. Yes, we can. See? But if you're thinking only intellectually, then you can't do much. Because the intellect always has a limit. Faith has no limit. Say amen to this. It has no limit. This is not for sense knowledge people. This is not given so that people can analyze it and try to get the details of how I get. This is not no way possible. No, this is not for you. This is for the believer.
Yes.
Say amen to that.
Go ahead, teacher.
See, Abraham had no natural anything that he could grab hold to and say that this word that God just gave him is true. He had nothing. He had nothing but God's word to hold on to. So when I give you a vision like I just gave you, all you have is a prophetic word. That's all you need. All you need is a prophetic word. Say amen to that. Then all you say next is, I believe God. Oh, yeah. See, Adam worked the garden by faith.
Yes.
That's what he did. He worked it by faith, man. He spoke.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus, look what Jesus did. He comes up. Where do I have you now, Luke? I haven't got there yet ever. Praise God, I'm coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But look what he did. Jesus came up to the fig tree. Am I right about it? He said to the fig tree, talking to the tree. Jesus talks to trees. No man is going to eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And walked. Came back the next morning with the disciples. One of the disciples calling to attention, Master, behold, the tree which you cursed, this tree is withered away. Jesus said to him, have faith in God. Or have the God what?
Kind of faith.
For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. I'm about to prophesy now. Be thou cast into the sea, to the world where it came from now. And shall not doubt where?
In his heart.
But shall what?
Believe.
That those things that he said. That thing that he said, those things that he said shall come to pass. He shall have, come on, whatsoever he said. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. Now understand, the first part of that is getting rid of the tree. See, there's a tree in you. And the tree is an image that God didn't plant. But I gotta curse that one and believe for what I desire. Look, y'all with me? Y'all, can y'all follow this? He said, whatsoever things you desire. He didn't say, that's a blank check. Say whatever things you want. This, he said, desire. Boy, y'all follow me now. See, we're not talking about something you need. Well, Lord, I need. Okay, fine. Okay. What do you need? A pair of shoes. How many pair of shoes you need? One. How many can you wear at a time? One. You can't put two shoes on at a time. Be walking out. I'd like to see you put on two shoes on top of the other at the time. I mean, you've got some galoshes or something like that, but I'm talking about you. So it's just one. But anything after that is a desire. I desire 5 pair. Well, what's the difference between I desire a Rolls Royce? Now, see, you've got to mess with me. See, you can't, because your mind been messed with. You still got that tree. All right, let me stop, because I got to come back. I lost somebody right there, see? See, now, he said, it's according to your what? Faith be it unto you. Boy, y'all, see, we're getting free now. We don't shoot the messenger. We getting free. God will allow you to have a rose just as quick as he allow you to have a Chevy Tahoe. Is that Chevy to make Tahoe? Is that right? Chevy make Tahoe? And I'm not talking about different cars. I'm just saying some people think God wants you to have this because he just wants you just to have just enough so you can get to working back. That's a need. I'm talking about a desire. What's everything you desire? Come on, free your mind now, see, because you don't put something on God. You got an image of God that God is not that. You're saying, well, God's going to fuss about that. I remember my wife when it was time for we're going to believe for a job for her. And she began to start believing for that job and what kind of job she wanted and so forth. And she said, wanted to the house, close to the house, computer, so forth and so on. And we got down to the car. I said, how about the car? Because we got one car and I needed to go up back and forth to school. And I said, we need another car. Well, a lot of people wouldn't put that down. They'd think if they put that down, then that would work God too much that he'd say, no, now I'm going to give you a job. Now, why don't you just take the bus? No, okay, I'm going to come over here because this side, I see right now, there's some haters over here somewhere. I can feel it. Okay. Now, okay. All right. Now, you just hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying greedy. That is not my point. My point to you is that that's your desire. That it, you got to get difference between covetous and covenant. There's a difference between those two. I could settle for that efficiency apartment that we had back there when we were at Lake and Pulaski. But I could live in that, but I won't. I'm telling you, over there, boys, there's something. Let me come over here again. I'm going to fight you. We're going to fight this thing. We're going to get this tree out of you. All right, look at this. Look at Luke 11 right quick. Now, I want to show you Matthew of 15 after this. But look at Luke 11. Have you got it? Yeah. All right, so he goes on down, talking about the man coming up, and the man was at midnight and so forth and so on. And look at verse 9. He said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, you're all familiar with that, aren't you? Yeah. However, if I go into the Amplified, and in the Amplified, it says, just a minute, it says, and I know some of you have it already, but just let me, if you could, let me just teach this. In the Amplified, it says, verse 9, so I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and just keep on seeking. Now, ask and keep on asking, that may sound like I can ask you, but if you don't want to give it to me, I can keep on. And pretty soon, I'm going to wear you down. And I'm going to get what I request. Now, all that's the way some people interpret God, see. So now I can just cry enough and emotionally move God. But prayer has laws. Everything in the kingdom has laws. What a powerful statement. And God won't violate them. Not once. So if I just keep on begging God, he'll give it to me. Now, let me show you where that's a fallacy. Now, I can't go into this because I'm not going to teach this today. But if that be the case in petition prayer, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So let's say you pray for this piece of paper. Let's say I'm serving as the Lord and you're serving as the one who's praying. You pray for this piece of paper. I say, okay. Whatever things you desire when you pray, just believe you've received it and you'll have it. So he prays. Now, by the law of prayer, he's got to believe he received it. Got it? Okay. So let's say he believed he received it. So spiritually, the transaction has been made. Now all he got to do with faith and patience, he'll inherit the promise. But here it is right here. So you take that. So now he's taking it. Now what would it look like if he asked me again for it? Do I have it? Don't even have it. Who has it? He has it. What's happened? It's a faith fact, but not yet a fact, a matter. Got it? It's a faith fact. So I gotta hold it in here as a faith fact. Because if I ask for it again, I'm undoing the prayer that I just did. Are you with me? So I can't ask and keep on asking for this same thing. I gotta ask how many times? Once. And when I ask, I gotta what? Believe what? That I receive it. When? When I pray. Not now. Don't say now. When I pray.
Make it plain.
No. Thank you. Do I? Do I have? I'm messing with you today. Let me give you $100. Let's see. That's one. Okay. I just gave you one. Yeah. All right, thank you. Was there somebody over here I was messing with? Okay, now, when... now, notice, he didn't know this, but the angels probably placed him here in this seat. I believe that. I believe this didn't happen by coincidence. That somehow he was supposed to have been placed here to get $100. That's God, isn't it? All right, let me just finish up this. Where's my Bible and stuff? Did I have it? That's it up there? Okay. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. So, now, what do? I go to look at my inheritance. And here comes pressure. Comes on me to do something. And because of the pressure and the old image that's still there, I cooperate with that image. And let's say I go and borrow some money. Now, borrowing is not a sin. But my inheritance says I'm supposed to be the lender. But I'm not borrowing because I just don't have anything else to do. I'm borrowing when pressure comes on me, and that's all I know to do. Got it? I'm saying when the image is on the inside of you and pressure comes on you, the image comes out. You just cooperate with it. That's all you know to do. So there are people probably sitting in here right now saying, how are you going to live without borrowing money, man? That's because that image is speaking. And that's all you know to do is to cooperate with it. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said something. And this is what he said in Matthew chapter 15. Do you have it? I'm going to let you go in just a minute. I know I'm out of time. I'm telling you, if you sit here with me one session, one good session, I can get you set free. I mean, you'll never be broke another day in your life. Look what he said in verse 12. Then came his disciples and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this?" Remember what I said. When I speak certain truth, notice the truth will offend folks sometimes. Look what it said in verse 13. But he answered and said, "Every plant," keep going, "which my heavenly Father," keep going, "has not planted," what's going to happen to it? It's coming out. That's if you sit here. Now, if you get offended and run out, then you keep the plant. But if you set up on the BW, that's me, and you hear what I'm saying and receive it, then the seed goes inside of you. And just like I'm living, you'll be living. See, that's why I got to be debt free, because I can't preach what I ain't living. Now, listen, that's no slam dunk on anybody, because there are preachers that old things, so forth and so on. But that's why I'm saying with this ministry now, I'm getting this ministry. Oh, so there's no debt, nowhere, no house. Come on now, because I want you to come into an atmosphere. Come on now. Now, hold it. So now if I've got the root or image that's been planted in me of debt, now I get the word, and the word is designed to throw down. The word is designed to root out. Say amen to that. And I saw where the word came in, because Jesus cursed that tree. How long did it take the tree to wither away? 24 hours. It tells me that you don't have to wait 6 months before that tree is destroyed inside of you and hear 20 sermons before it can be dealt with. But you can take the word of God and overnight plow up everything, cut down, throw down, tear down. Now, right away, your natural mind, your intellectual process will say that's impossible. No, with God, all things are possible. Now, one last place. Lord, have mercy. Are y'all with me? Intellect. The mind is trying to tell you that that's not possible. But don't listen to it. Just receive the word into your heart. Amen. Abraham just did one thing: believe God. Now, the only thing I'm trying to do is shake you out of debt, because I'm seeing that I get people out of debt and then they get a raise and go back in debt. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. I'm not trying to put anybody in bondage. That's not my point. My point to you is I'm trying to make you the lender, because that's his promise to you. He didn't say they're going to lend to you. He said you're going to lend to them. I'm talking about taking ownership. Say take ownership. Take ownership. Somebody said, "Well, now, wait a minute, I plan to go down and buy a new car Saturday. I mean, how you preacher going to talk against my thing? I'm trying. I just convinced my husband that we were in." All right. Here's the deal. Go on down there. Get it. Now believe for debt cancel. See, whatever the case, don't put yourself under condemnation, because then your faith will stop working. That's why it's under grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Under the law, it's either this or that. Meaning, the law says if your kids act up, talk back, stone them. You know. Yeah, come on now. Some of them laws in there. I mean, that thing was cold, brother. But under grace, they talk back, just smack them and just sit them down and just, no, no, I'm just kidding. I just go, all right, okay, see there? See there? Be offended. Don't get offended now. But I'm just saying, under grace is a different thing. And that's what sometimes preachers miss, is that there's a grace here. There's a time that Bill Winston, we will start believing God for our first home, and we believe that we're going to believe for a down payment. Boom, we're going to finance the rest. And that's what we did. See? But by the next time the house came, our faith was higher. Now we can believe God for the what?
Debt-free.
Whole thing, debt-free. Boom, got it, debt-free. Then got another one. Boom, debt-free. Come on now, because he did say, how's this?
Amen. Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Jesus paid for this. Now, you're in your mind, you're saying, wait a minute, I got to pay for it. God may have you to pay for it. But realize he's going to furnish what you need to pay for it with. Because Jesus, through his blood, not only saved you, but paid for everything that's coming back to you. Are you with me? Please, 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 folks, get me right. I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about shiftless, lazy folk. I'm not talking about people who are trying to take advantage of somebody or a system or something. I'm talking about people that God is going to lead within the system, that things are going to be transferred in such an orderly way until it won't offend the folks that it's coming from. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you can't think of that with your brain. Only God can do that. He knows exactly how to do it. All you have to do is receive his word.
Amen.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
All right, there's one more thing I wanted to tell you, and I'm trying to think of what that was. Just hold it. Just sit here. Can you sit here for just a minute till I... Let me... one more thing. Hold on. Just sing Rock of Ages or something. Just hold on just a minute, please, because I want to tell you this. It's coming. Hold on. Let me look in here. I just want to tell you one more thing. Okay, we call it. One man called it genetically altered Bible, where people are altering the scriptures and making him say what they want him to say instead of what the scriptures actually say. And then also curse the fig tree, save on debt. See, when you start talking about debt, sometimes people get all, you get a little bit condemned. And that's, please, if you do that, faith don't work. You can't do that, man. If you're not ready for it, just go ahead and buy the thing on time and just pay it off and so forth. Oh, okay. Here's the last one. It is so. All right, now, getting out of debt. Now, again, and this is not a biggie. I'm just going to share this with you. Our tendency is to think that to get out of debt is perhaps a process by which we go through that takes quite a while, because it's a process of paying a little on it here and so forth and so on. Now let me tell you what all that is. That is trying to run faster under a cursed system. Okay? Now it does work, but notice what it leads to many times. It can lead, it ultimately, if you keep doing it, it'll lead to debt getting paid off. But God has promised me no toil. Toil is fatigue in body or mind. So when I go in here, I'm now trying to bring my finances or my household into order. And I have to realize, again, what Adam did, he did by faith. So he was speaking things into existence. And Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, just about everything he did with words. God, hang on, folks, is bringing us back to Eden. Right now, you have the eternal invading the temple. You have heaven coming to earth. We are running out of time. Time is not money, time is temporal. And it is only a certain amount of it, just like water in a pitcher. And it's running out. And the shorter it gets, the shorter the days seem. You better hear what I'm saying now. So now you and I have been born from another dimension. We have been born from the eternal. And inside of us is God. He is the eternal. And with him there is no time. So when we come into a situation, the spiritual force of faith that we release causes us to dominate any of the molecular forces in this earth. So Jesus could dominate a tree. He didn't go and get a mini-mac chainsaw. He didn't do that. He spoke to it. Because that's the way Adam functioned. And now we are coming into a place where we're going to cross over and operate more spiritually than naturally. Is this making sense to anybody? The idea about I know I'm taking you somewhere. But you've been sent here to plant the heavens. That's Isaiah 51. You've been sent here for that. You've been sent here to speak things into existence. I truly believe why God had me write that book and Donald Lawrence that whole albums on this confession is because that is the revelation of the last day believer. That we're going to be speak. Brother Kenneth Hagin said this, before we leave the earth, men are going to walk as God. We're going to be speaking things in and speaking things out. And I'm telling you what you need to do is you need to get a new image of who you are, because there is a king in you. And as God uses you, you go into a neighborhood and decree a thing. Decree is a legal word for legislate. Once you pass legislation that there's a new law in this community, every angel will enforce it. Every demon will cease. Folks, we're training for reigning. Now, I know this may seem far out for some of you, but it's not meant for your intellect. It is meant for your spirit. Your mind will be renewed in time. But until then, you can walk by faith and not by sight. There's the revelation of this. Now, this cannot come forward except the prophet first release it. See, he said he'll do nothing in the earth except it be revealed first to the prophet. And over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, how can they hear without a preacher? But how can he even preach except he been sent? I have been sent. And I've been sent to tell you, you're going into a place where you're going to have to start watching your mouth, because God is going to turn up the power. Folks, it's going to be like you speaking, and it's going to be like one of those cash machines that you get money out of 24 hours a day. Except when you speak, you're not going to be transferring $25. You're going to be transferring $25 billion. Just by one word that you're going to. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I know this seems far-fetched. Don't look at me like that. Just understand, we're going somewhere. You see, Moses, God said, to get water out of this rock, you strike it. And Moses struck that rock, and water gushed out, and everybody drank, the cattle and all of them. But the next rock, he didn't tell him to strike it. He said, Moses, now this rock, don't you strike this with a stick. You speak to it. And Moses was supposed to back off and speak to this thing. I'm telling you, we're going into a place where nobody has to lay hands on you anymore. We gonna speak the word only. You got to hear what I'm saying, man. So I'm saying, don't just look at the fact that you're in debt and say, well, it's going to take, you know, 3 years to pay this car off or something. Whoa, 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 whoa. That ain't in there. That's not in there. Every time debts got canceled, it was overnight. It was 3 days. It was 2 days. It was so forth. Well, if that be the case, how come it can't be that next Sunday, by the time you come in here, every debt you got on the book will be wiped off? And I'm telling you, there's a way to do this. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, I know people are saying, now he's kind of extreme. Honey, the gospel is extreme. Everything in there is extreme. Crossing the Red Sea is extreme. Raising dead people is extreme. Feeding 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves is extreme. To be able to make the blind see and the lame walk is extreme. To be able to make water out of wine is extreme. Sit down. No, I'm not going to back off. I'm your prophet. I know what I can see. And I can see you speaking. I can see you decreeing. I can say it's indeed. Now, I know in your life it doesn't seem like that right now. But I'm telling you when it can happen. You ready? Overnight. Overnight, man. You can be looking one way one day, and folks come back, and they won't even recognize you. Say amen to this. He can cancel your debt overnight. He can heal your body, come on, overnight. He can straighten up your children. Give the Lord a praise. Don't tell me what God can't do. Ain't nothing God can't do. We gonna flow with him. Now you let God be God and let every man be a lie. If it don't agree with God's word, what he said about you, what he said for you, what he said you can do and what you can have, you cancel it out. Say, no, I believe God. I believe God. And then believe you receive when you say. Don't wait to see it before you believe it. Believe it now. to come loose here, because it's time for the supernatural. See, for you to get the supernatural, you got to preach the supernatural. You can't preach natural and get super. Don't work. You got to preach something that's hard to believe to a natural man. Abraham didn't have no hope. He was beyond the age of childbearing, and his wife had never had kids. And God said, you're going to have a kid by that woman. Abraham said he considered not. He didn't consider how old he was and didn't consider how barren she was. He said, I believe God. I said, I believe God. I'm telling you that debts are going to be canceled in 7 days. I said 7 days. Every debt you have going to be canceled. You speak to it. Sit down. Let me close this out. My Lord, my Lord. That's from the Holy Ghost, folks. I said, that's from the Holy Ghost. I said, that is from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost got a word for you. 7 day miracles. I said, 7 day miracles. Now, your job is to follow him. Just do exactly what he says. Do exactly what he says. Whatever he says, you do it. See, you got to rise up above the intellect, because the intellect has sees impossibilities. But if you ever go into faith, that's because you can tell you there, you don't see any impossibilities. All the walls go away. How we doing? We doing all right? This was a mess. This is what I've been trying to get out. This was it right here. Say amen to that. My Lord, my Lord. Goodness. Oh, we opening up a new season. There's a new season. Yeah, over in this section over here, there will be millionaires over here. There will be millionaires over here. Yes, there will be. There are millionaires. There are. And I don't care who doesn't like it. Don't you even pay any attention to it. Oh, I tell you. I feel like the glory is coming, the glory is coming. I said the glory is coming. When the glory comes through, it wipes out everything that's under the curse. Whoa! Oh, ho, ho. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, y'all take a seat. Let me pray so we can try to get out. No, 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 no. No, no, no. We, God saved the best to last. We got some speaking spirits about to rise up, boy. You got to believe, you gonna believe what you speak. It's coming to pass. We're going to make this place like the Garden of Eden. My Lord, my Lord. Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Uh-huh. I know. I said I know. Yes, sir. Now, Understand what we preach here tonight is a prophetic word. I can see something. And I added the prophetic voice to it.
Yes, sir.
But all you got to do is believe.
Yes.
I said all you got to do is believe. See, God's people are ready to go, man. I'm telling you, we're ready to go. We've been talked about and kept out and laughed at and all that, but you're about to see the finest people in the earth come out of the church. Yes, you do. All right. Man, I normally don't let go like that at home, but y'all, somebody pull it. Somebody ready for it. Somebody got to have it. Somebody got to have a debt canceled in 7 days. Somebody got to have that thing. Got to have that thing canceled in 7 days. In 7 days. In 7 days. And you claim it in 7 days. Point to that wallet. Point to that checkbook. Point to them bills. Point to them and command them to be debt. Oh, cancel. Cancel. 7 days. All right, take a seat. If you're here and you know in your life you need to be saved, I don't care who you are, it doesn't make any difference. Whoever you are, I want to pray for you. Same prayer they prayed for me when I got born again, I want to pray for you. Whoever it is, you know you need Jesus in your life. Don't be trying to fool nobody.